Will you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, as well as pull out your message notes today? I'd like to speak this morning on God's greatness and our gratefulness. Next Sunday morning, I'd like to speak on God's greatness and our brokenness. But today, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on the greatness of God, Isaiah chapter 40. And I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to begin with one verse. One verse to get us going. It's verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah wrote, maybe 800 years before Christ. Powerful book. I love the book of Isaiah. And here the prophet calls us just to see God. It says in verse 9, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. And you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. And say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." Would you say those last four words out loud, that last phrase? Here is your God. May we see him today. May we just have him through the words of the prophet brought in front of us today. Here is your God. Not just here is what you do for God, but here is your God. As we pray today, it's an international day of prayer for the persecuted church, and so I'd like to pray with you about that. One of the more famous martyrs in our movement, J.W. Tucker, was martyred in the Congo, one of the members of our church. 42 years ago this Thanksgiving, you'll see in the bulletin, there's a memorial for him next Sunday afternoon. But even today, there are millions of people suffering today, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because they will not renounce Jesus. And so I'd like, as we pray, that God will show us his greatness through his word, that he'll do the same for the persecuted church. Father, we are here today thanking you that you are such a great God. Here is your God. May we see you in all of your greatness today as we enter this Thanksgiving week. And I pray that you'll be a great and awesome and sustaining and comforting and strength-giving God to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering today. Lord, this very day around the world in Sudan, in Indonesia, in China, in India, and in places, Lord, many of them remote and some of them public, Lord, we know that there are today believers in Jesus, our brothers and sisters, that are in prison. Some of them are being tortured today. Some of them are being executed today. And my God, I pray that you will come around your church with your greatness. Would you give strength to the persecuted church around the world? Lord, give her strength to stand for you. And may you be glorified. And may the church only grow greater in those nations. Lord, stand with them in all your greatness and all the majesty and greatness that we will see in your word today. May it be their portion as well as ours. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here is your God. It's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to go past what we do for God and the things that are involved in serving God, to just see the God we do things for and the God we serve. In fact, sometimes we get distracted with all of the issues of what it means to serve God and to follow him, and we miss the main point, that's God himself. The Newswires 3 days ago came up with a story out of France, where in a small village in France, a retired couple had their home broken into, and the thief stole, among other things, their television set. And true story, just in the papers this week. He realized that he got away with the television set, but he missed picking up the remote control. Now, what's a TV without a remote control? And so he went back, and he broke into the house again to get the remote control. And of course, they caught him red-handed. The police chief in that town said, "Now, some things are daring, but some things are just plain stupid." That was just plain stupid. You know, sometimes we're preoccupied with the remote control, and we miss the real issue. Sometimes we're just focused on, what do I do for God? And we've lost the picture of what a great God has done for us. And so in the midst of it, Isaiah says to Israel at a time where they need great renewal, he said, "I just want you to look at not even your spiritual disciplines, just look at your God. Here is your God. And when you look at him, you're going to find these things about him." And from there on in Isaiah chapter 40, you see largely rhetorical questions being asked in which God invites you to really confront and think about who he is, not in his smallness, not in his obscureness, but in his incredible greatness. In fact, as Isaiah presents their God, here is your God in front of them. First of all, we find out that he is bigger than whatever confronts us. Verse 12, the questions begin. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heaven? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? And of course the answer is, well, nobody except the creator God of heaven and earth. Who else could take the mountains themselves, and they seem to weigh no more than dust compared to his huge balances? He says, this is the one who has measured the heavens with the breadth of his hand. Now that's staggering. I've looked it up this week again just to refresh my memory, and sure enough, the closest star in our universe, the closest star to us is not just one star, but it's two big stars and a little red dwarf called the Alpha Centauri system that are gravitationally bound to one another. And when you look at that, just looks like one bright star to the naked eye in our dark night sky, but it's really three stars. But we would say that's the closest star system to us, to our sun. And you realize how far away that is? That is 4.35 light years. A light year is how far you'd travel at the speed of light if you had a whole year to do it. You realize the speed of light I remembered it a minute ago. What's that? 186, of course. I'm a rocket science, you know that. It's wearing off. It's wearing off fast. 186, I just had a blank in my mind. Oh, of course, 186,000, just over 186,000 miles per second. Miles per second. That's in 1 second, about like that. You travel 186,000 miles. To our nearest star, you'd have to travel 4.3 years, going 186,000 miles every second in order to get there. And yet, you take our nearest star, we look like very close neighbors compared to the billions of stars just in our galaxy alone. Our galaxy is so wide that if you were to use one of our faster space probes, Voyager 11, at the speed of Voyager 11, it would take 250,000 years just to get from one end of our galaxy to another. That means the closest star is just really a next-door neighbor to us. But again, you take that great Milky Way galaxy that we're in that takes 250,000 years at the fastest spacecraft speeds we know of to get across, and our Milky Way galaxy looks kind of small compared to the distances that separate our galaxy from the billions with a B of other galaxies in our world. Unbelievable. And of this great God, it says he measures the breadth of his heaven, of the heavens, with just the span of his hand. Folks, that's one very large hand. And I want to say to you, I don't know how big the obstacles seem that face you today, but I'm here to tell you, God is bigger. I don't know how big the dimensions of the trials that are dogging you and intimidating you and overwhelming you are, but I want to tell you the dimensions of this great God who measures the heavens with the span of his hand. Those dimensions, I guarantee, are way larger than the dimensions of anything that's confronting and intimidating you today. Here is your God, the prophet tells Israel. Look at him. He's bigger than anything that confronts you, but he doesn't stop there. He's also wiser than anything that confounds you. The very next verse, verse 13, who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? And who was it that taught him knowledge? Or showed him the path of understanding? And once again, to these rhetorical questions, the answer is nobody than a great God himself, who is wiser than anything that confounds us. I want to tell you, his wisdom is beyond our knowing. There's many times I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand his timing. I don't understand his strategies. And sometimes we pray, Lord, where are you? Oh, I don't feel you. I can't see any evidence that you're there. Where are you? And I think often what we're praying when we say, Lord, where are you, is we're really praying, Lord, Do you know where I am right now? And do you really understand what's going on in my life? And can you really get me out of it? And God says, you know what? I'm wiser than the wisest. There is nobody who became my counselor. I wasn't ever caught scratching my head saying, I have no clue what to do. I better look up Joe or Sally and ask them. He is wiser than anything that confounds us. His ways are above our ways, he says a few chapters later in Isaiah. I love the little story of 9-year-old Joey went to Sunday school class as usual and came home. And his mom said, well, what did the teacher teach you today in Sunday school? And Joey says, well, the teacher taught us about Moses, how that God sent Moses behind the enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he got Israel to the edge of the Red Sea. And then he got his Army Corps of Engineers to build a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea. And all of Israel passed over on the pontoon bridge safely to the other side of the Red Sea. And when they all got over to the other side, then Moses got his walkie-talkie and he called the Israeli Air Force in to bomb the pontoon bridge. And they blew it up and they were safe from the Egyptians. And Mom says, now come on. Come on, Joe. Are you sure they told the story that way? And you say, well, not exactly, Mom, but if I told it to you the way the teacher told us, you'd never believe it. You know what? What an awesome God who just blows all our human, who does things so greater than and more powerfully than the way we could conceive. He is wiser than all the things that confounds us. This week, it's been a wonderful week. I've seen at least three wonderful answers to prayer, specific answers to prayer, and one of them involving my sister. And I just go, God, the way you do things so much better than I do them. Your ways are above my way. You're wiser than we are wise. He is a great God. Here is your God. He's bigger than what confronts you, and he's wiser than what confounds you. And thirdly, as Isaiah 40 goes on, he's stronger than what controls you. Now, if him being bigger than what confronts us speaks of his power, and if him being wiser than what confounds us speaks of his wisdom, here when we talk about him being stronger than what controls us, we're talking about his authority. Here's the picture of God's authority. Once again, the rhetorical questions. Verse 21 now of Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? And of course, we're going by this point, no, please tell us. And so he tells us in the next verse. He, this great God, he sits enthroned. Now you can just circle that word, enthroned. What do you have on a throne? You have one with authority. You have a ruler. He sits enthroned above the, interesting phrase in a world, in an era where they would consider the world flat. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And his people are like grasshoppers. He's so great in his authority and power and majesty above us. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. In other words, he's sovereign. He's in control. He is holding the top office of authority. He's on his throne, and he's taking care of his own. And the next verse takes it even another step, his authority. And he brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Now, we read that verse, and some of us think that's the Republican Party after a week ago. But it's not the Republicans necessarily. I don't care what political party got elected or not elected into office that you like a week and a half ago. But I want to tell you, somebody did not get elected out of office. His name is Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. That throne still has the ruler of the universe sitting upon it. He still sits in spite of any human election. In fact, his authority is so great that even the rulers of the world that can so subject the peoples of the world and control them, even they are the pawn in his hand. He raises them up and he brings them down. There is nothing outside of the capacity of his strength to take control where human control is lost. He is in charge. He sits on the throne. He is the Lord of all the lords. He's the King of all the kings. Nothing is stronger than He is. His word trumps every other word. His power overcomes every other controlling power in our lives. I don't care if it's a drug. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if it's out of control sexual activity. I don't care if it's a boss or a financial situation or a government you like or don't like. I want to tell you, Jesus is above them all. God is greater than them all. He is stronger than anything that controls us. Above the circle of the earth, you'll find one person on the ultimate throne of all the thrones, our great God. Bigger than anything that confronts us. Wiser than anything that confounds us. Stronger than anything that controls us. What a God. Isaiah says, here is your God. Look at Him. Be overwhelmed by Him. Take hope in Him. And that's where he brings it now up close and personal. If I was writing Isaiah 40, I might have ended there. What more can you say? Except a God of such immense love and compassion for you and me. He brings this great God in His power, His wisdom, and His authority up close to you and me now. He doesn't end the chapter before saying, this greatness, as overwhelming and wonderful and maybe intimidating as it may be, it's yours to have. Up close and personal. Here is your God, not just as a distance, but now here is your God at the very core of the details of your life today and tomorrow and the day after. And he starts the up close and personal part just a few verses even farther down in Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. More questions. Who created all these things? Well, we say the Creator God, of course, created them. This great God. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Now, this is a staggering statement. In that little Astronomy 101 a few minutes ago, I mentioned that, you know, there's billions of galaxies with a B in our universe. And we're in one of them, the Milky Way galaxy. But the Milky Way galaxy is estimated could have as many as 200 billion with a B stars just in our own galaxy. Multiply that by billions more. I want to tell you, he says he's named every star, and not one of them does he ever lose track of. Read it again. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Now that's the backdrop to the up close and personal part, the very next verse. And so why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, but my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God? He said he made the billions of stars a name for everyone, and not one of them does he ever lose track of. So how can he say to you, the pinnacle of his creation, his children? He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you're going out and coming in. And if he doesn't lose track, let alone names of every star in the universe, how much more can he never lose track of you? He has your address. He knows where you are. When you are saying, God, where are you? And in essence saying, God, do you know where I am? He is saying, absolutely, I know where you live. If I keep track of the stars of heaven and not one is lost, how can you say, it's a personal question to every one of us, how can you say, as my people, I think God's lost track of me? I think my ways are hidden from the Lord. I don't think God, when I look at what's been happening in my life lately, I'm not sure God even knows where I am anymore. I see no evidence that He's near me. I see no evidence that He's found me. I think I'm lost. I don't know if He even notices me anymore. And God says, I keep track of the starry heavens. How can you say, oh, my people, you know, my way is hidden from the Lord? So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, on this Thanksgiving week, here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God's divine GPS is working well. You know what a GPS is, don't you? Global positioning system. God's got a divine one. We have human ones The Department of Defense developed our human GPS system a few decades ago, and then in the 1980s opened it up free of charge to the civilian world. Our human GPS system involves 24 satellites that rotate around the Earth twice a day at 12,000 miles up. And through a process called triangulation, they measure the time it takes between a signal being emitted from that satellite down to the GPS unit in your car. Now, why people need GPS units to get around Springfield, I don't know. But I suppose some of us are just struggle with directions a little. But it measures the time it takes to get from the satellite down there and then compares that with the same thing from two other satellites. The data is in a triangulating process is computed, and it can predict, it can locate you within a few feet anywhere on the face of the planet, within a few feet, exactly where you are. That's the GPS system that we know humanly. But I want to tell you, God's got a divine GPS system. You know, we send up and replace those satellites about every 10 years. That's their life expectancy. We're constantly replacing satellites for our GPS program. But I want to tell you, God, you never have to replace. He who keeps track of the stars of heaven, listen, he knows where you are today. He's got your address. He's got your number. You may not feel him. You may not see the evidence of his hand. But sometimes those are the times when he's most focused on you. All we know for sure, if God is as great as he says he is, if he's bigger than whatever confronts you and wiser than whatever confounds you and stronger than whatever controls you, you know this for sure, up close and personal. He knows your address today, and you're not out of his sight. But not only that, but he takes it one step further in the next verse, verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Did you catch some of that truth? Unbelievable. This God who knows our address is in the business of packaging his greatness and parceling it out to you exactly where you live. He says, because this is something, if he's as great as he is, this is something we know about him. We wear out, but he never wears out. We get tired, but he never gets tired. You can't exhaust this greatness. You know, some people say, I've been asking God so much for some things, I'm afraid I'm wearing him out. Impossible. Can't wear him out. He never gets tired. He never gets exhausted. He's infinite in power and resource. You learned this in mathematics. You cut infinity in half, and what do you have? It's still infinity. You cut infinity in a trillion pieces, and what do you have? Each piece is still infinite. I'll tell you, you never wear him out. You never exhaust him. You never cut him into so many pieces that there's not enough of him to go around. He not only knows where you live, but he has all you need for where you are. And we grow weary, but he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. In other words, he, this great God that I want you to see this morning, is in the business of packaging together and parceling out his greatness for your situation right where you are. That's why in this Thanksgiving week, I'm thankful not only that God's divine GPS is working well, but I'm thankful that God's divine UPS will keep me going. You all know UPS, right? Those people in the brown uniforms that wear the brown truck, what are they doing? They know your address, and they're bringing parcels and packages right to where you live. This is what God does with his greatness. His GPS locates us, and his UPS delivers to us the tangible resources of his greatness. He knows where you live, and he's got his UPS trucks on the way. Hallelujah. They're called the blessings of the Lord. They're called the intervention of God. They're called the answers to our prayers. They're called the faithfulness of our living Lord who still reigns and rules. They're called the presence of God. He brings his greatness to us right where we are and where we live. And of course, no greater way did he ever do that than when he sent his son Jesus to die for us. Oh, God's GPS was working overtime when he sent his son. He so knew our address. He just didn't send us a gift. He sent us a thing. He sent us his son, who found our location on this obscure planet in our huge universe. And he not only found the location of where we live physically, but he found the location of where we live spiritually. We're born in sin. We fail God. We're broken. Evil has made us its victims. He found that spiritual location as well. And on the cross of Jesus Christ, there we see Jesus caring. Oh, he located us until so accurately that until our guilt and our sin is right there on Jesus. And he died and rose again. He rose again to prove that what he did on the cross when he located us in the midst of our sin and guilt, that what he did was enough to free us from it so that now resurrection power could come to us and his UPS system could kick into gear. He knows our address. He met us where we are. And now in Jesus, we can have the strength and life of God. So as a result, the final invitation is the last two verses, the next verse and the verse after it, which are the last two verses of Isaiah 40. These are two verses that changed my life when I was 29 years old. I've told that story in other contexts, as many of you, and I'll not repeat it in detail. But when I was 29 years old and tireder than a young man of 29 ought to be, and realizing that part of my tiredness was not just physical, but it was emotional and spiritual, which I think is part of the deep part of our weariness as human being, our spiritual and emotional weariness. God gave me these verses, rather supernaturally confirmed them repeatedly over several days in events completely unassociated with each other. The same verses through multiple people kept coming to me. And they go like this, because this was my situation. I almost took it as a rebuke. Even verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. What words? But those who wait on or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings like eagles. Sometimes I feel so beat down, I'm not sure I could even spread my wings, let alone soar. But God says, I know how to spread your wings and then put wind under them. When you're weak, see, I'm never weak. When you're weary, see, I'm never weary. When you're tired, see, I'm never tired. When you're beaten down, see, I'm never beaten down, God says. And I give strength. I parcel out my greatness and my strength to the weary. Until at the least time when you think you can fly. I think when you don't know where God is, when you think he's lost track of your address, those are the most dangerous times to see a miracle. Those are the times God loves to come through and do the unexpected. If you just say, oh God, rather than cash it in, rather than give up on you, I will dare to obey your invitation. When you say, come and see, this is your God. I'll dare to see your great, to focus on your greatness one more time, rather than my problems. And I'll watch what you begin to do as you lift me. Says you'll run and not be weary. I went running yesterday morning and I got weary running with my 67-year-old running partner with long legs. I got weary. But he says, you know, in the run of life, when God parcels out his strength, you're not going to get weary. And you're going to walk and you're not going to topple over. You're not going to faint. Whatever you face. I mean, I would love to think that God would take care of all my problems by midnight tonight. He may not do that. But I do know that he has got strength for the run. And he's got his presence to sustain me. And that his divine GPS system knows right where I am. And his divine UPS system knows how to deliver to my house the address of my life, everything I need from him. That's why I go into Thanksgiving thankful. I'm thankful that a great God like that knows where I live and has all I need. I'm not thankful just because he hasn't solved all my problems yet. But I'm thankful that a great and awesome God walks with me. And he will not fail me, for this is your God. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me, please? Will you just worship him for a moment? Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. We honor you today. We honor you today. Great and mighty God, thank you. This is who you are. We put our hearts, our eyes upon you today. We have put our hope in you today. For they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings as eagles. My God, thank you for your capacity to keep track of us and to renew us. Thank you that there's nothing apart from you, Lord. And we just worship you. We worship you today. Hallelujah for how great you are. Bigger than what confronts us. Wiser than what confounds us. Stronger than what controls us. And you brought it up so close. Right where we live. We thank you for how great you are. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord.